Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season has been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome into the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Victory Monday edition of the show. It's the post-game show, dropping here early on a Monday edition of the podcast. Hopefully you're listening on your drive to work or your drive home, wherever, whenever you're listening. You can always find us 5 days a week, five shows a week on any podcast platform when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, you name it, we are available on all platforms. But normally, lately, the last 4 weeks, the last month, these episodes have not been available victory style. We have not been able to talk about an Eagles win since before the bye week. That win was disgusting against the Dallas Cowboys and Ben DiNucci on Sunday Night Football, where Carson Wentz was terrible. You were 3-4-1. You were in first place, but it felt terrible. Bye week, they lose to the Cleveland Browns. They lose to the New York Giants. Then the Cleveland Browns. Then they lose to the Seattle Seahawks, the Green Bay Packers. A four-game losing streak that just felt like a new low in the Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz era. And then yesterday, against the 10-2 New Orleans Saints, who were on a 9-game win streak, a new era might have started, the Jalen Hurts era, as the Eagles get a 24-14 win over Taysom Hill and the Saints, led by rookie quarterback Jalen Hurts, who made his NFL debut, at least as a starter. Hurts has been playing in and out of the lineup this year in gadget packages, but as everybody knows, Carson Wentz got benched last week against the Green Bay Packers, and head coach Doug Peterson decided to make the move this week to start Hurts full-time against the Saints. So now the Eagles, after a 24-14 win, they are 4-8-1, and they're in striking distance in the NFC East still. I know that's crazy after changing your quarterback, your $100 million man, Carson Wentz, after benching him, and you get a win. You're alive still in the playoffs. That's just the state of the NFC East right now, where a team can either be picking, you know, number 6 overall, which is what the Birds have been positioned for the last couple weeks, and then all it takes is one win, and now suddenly you're right back into the playoff conversation. And that's what happened after the Eagles win against the Saints. Let's get into what happened in the game, and then I'll get my takeaways going here in segments 2 and segments 3. But Jalen Hurts started this game really hot, moving the ball up and down the field. The first drive lasted, 7 minutes? It kind of stalled out there in Saints territory, but Hurts looked good. He was moving the ball well. He was accurate. He was mobile. The offense was clicking. And then on that second drive, Jalen Hurts, an impressive first touchdown of the game. A free rusher right in his face. He steps up, hits Alshon Jeffrey in the left corner of the end zone, back shoulder throw to give the Eagles a 7-0 lead. Then a field goal and a Miles Sanders 82-yard touchdown run gave the Eagles a 17-0 lead at halftime. That's the third 70-plus yard run for Miles Sanders this year. Two of which have been touchdowns, one against Pittsburgh earlier this year, and now an 82-yard rushing touchdown. Sanders is a star in the NFL. This guy, and that's three this year of 70-plus yards. By the way, there's only been 11 total in the NFL. Sanders has three of them. 11 70-plus yard runs this year by a running back. Sanders has three. And remember last year against the Buffalo Bills, me and Gino were at that game. He had another 70-plus yard touchdown run. So this is just what Miles Sanders does. He is your home run hitter. Normally for the Eagles throughout the history of the team, it's been a receiver, right? Like a DeSean Jackson. This year, the past 2 years, their home run threat has not been a receiver. It's not been a tight end. It's been the running back, Miles Sanders, who gave the Eagles a 17-0 lead after a field goal as well. So the Birds were up. The defense was holding Taysom Hill and the Saints offense to nothing, and they're up by 3 scores at halftime. But then the Saints started to come back a little bit. defensive injuries for the Eagles really hurt that unit that was kicking ass. Darius Slay out for the game in the second half. Avante Maddox out for the game. So your two starting outside corners go down. Rodney McLeod, the only defensive player this year that hasn't missed any snaps at safety, out for the game. So they're down to, they have to play Kayvon Wallace, Marcus Epps, Kayvon Seymour. Jalen Mills had to move back to cornerback. It was a disaster. And even a guy like Taysom Hill, who I think is a Tim Tebow-level quarterback, tore up that secondary. Kayvon Seymour let up a big, deep touchdown to Emmanuel Sanders. The Saints score 14 straight points, and they pull within three. But then the momentum changed. The Saints had the ball again. It looked like they were going to march down and either tie the game up or take the lead. The Eagles' offense could not move the football on the ground or through the air against the Saints' number one ranked defense. But then defensive end Josh Sweat changes the momentum of the game back into the Eagles' favor. On fourth down, he rushes to his right. Taysom Hill is rolling to his right, and Josh Sweat, with that crazy 1,000-feet-long wingspan, hits the ball out with a strip sack, gets the Eagles the ball back, and then finally playing complimentary football, Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders, Jalen Reagor, all with big plays. They march down the field, and a Miles Sanders score on the goal line puts the Eagles back up by double digits, 24-14. And so then you think the game's over, right? They're in control. Josh Sweat gets another big sack. Javon Hargrave gets another sack. He had two on the night, by the way. So the defense is in control. The offense is moving the ball well. They're up by 10 with just a minute left. It's over. But then Jalen Hurts fumbles because the Eagles can never make it easy on us. They can never let us just relax and have a nice win. Jalen Hurts fumbles on a quarterback draw on second down. The Saints recover, and then Taysom Hill hits Jared Cook for a touchdown with 1:24 to go, and suddenly it's 24-21. Now the Saints only have one timeout, so kick an onside kick. And normally onsides just never work. What's it, like a 1%? Chance of conversion, basically. It's a useless play. But the Saints had the best look of an onside that I've seen in a long time, where Will Lutz fakes the kick to the right, kicks it to the left, and it goes off. I think Michael Jackett was the player. Marcus Epps didn't want to recover it, so he lets the ball trickle a little more towards the sidelines, and then it goes off an Eagles player's cleat. And you have two Saints right there on the ball, but somehow Jalen Mills and Duke Riley come in screaming to the football. And it looked like a Saints player recovered it. I think it was one of their special teams, you know, aces. And it looked like he had the ball, but somehow Duke Riley or Jalen Mills went full on beast mode and tore that ball back into their possession. So the Eagles get the ball back and they won. It was a nail biter at the end because, again, that's just how the Eagles, this is what they do to us. For the past, what, 3-4 years, this is how the Eagles win football games. Nervously, even when you think they're in control, they're not. But they got the job done. 24-14, they beat a 10-2 team in the New Orleans Saints, who had the number one ranked defense in the league, and they were the hottest team in football. Even with Taysom Hill at quarterback, without Drew Brees, they won two straight games with Taysom, and they were winning 9 straight. They had a 9-game win streak. And the Eagles, because of course, in the most predictable thing ever, a team you think is dead in the water, finds a way to revive themselves. When no one else is willing to revive them, they do it themselves. They improve to 4-8-1 on the season. And now, yeah, Washington won. They beat San Francisco. They're a game and a half up still on the Eagles, but there's scenarios now, very doable ones, just like the last 2 years, that can put the Birds in the postseason. And we'll get into that coming up next, right here on the Locked On Eagles postgame show. The Eagles take it 24-14 over the New Orleans Saints. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I'll get into my opinions on Jalen Hurts' debut, on Miles Sanders, Doug Peterson's play calling, the defense, what's to happen moving forward in 2020 and the future. Don't go anywhere. Louis DiBiase right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Monday edition, a victory Monday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Look, I've been very down on this team. I've been depressed because of the state of the quarterback position and the state of Carson Wentz and just how far this team has fallen over the past year, just from 2019 to 2020. And even 2019, they were an up and down roller coaster team, and the same with 2018. But, you know, it's been brutal. And all week, in the past two, three, this entire losing streak, we've more kind of switched gears on Locked On Eagles and have done more long-term episodes, like talked about the long-term future of this team. Talk about what's going to happen beyond 2020, because 2020 felt like a lost cause. And while it still maybe is in the sense of competing for a Super Bowl, at 4-8-1, I mean, look, if they lost this game, and if they were 3-9-1, we'd still be talking about the future. But because they won, they're still alive. They're a game and a half back from Washington, who has the lead at 6-7 in the NFC East, and they're red hot. They've won four straight games, but the Eagles are a game and a half back, and they play a beatable Arizona Cardinals team next week. They play the Dallas Cowboys, who stink, in 2 weeks, and then they have a Week 17 battle with Washington. That could be for the division. It's just, this is what the Eagles do every year. This shouldn't be predictable against a team like the Saints, but it really is. If you've watched the Eagles since 2018, this is what they do. Anytime you think this team is finally like completely dead in the water, 2018, when they got blown out by this New Orleans Saints team at the Superdome, they dropped to 4-6. You thought they're dead in the water. There's no way they can come back and make the playoffs. They did. They went 5-1 down the stretch, and they nearly made the NFC title that year. Last year, I remember around this time, I was in Arizona at the Eagles Backers Bar, Eagles West. Shout out. Love that place. And we're all hyped up. The Eagles are leading the Miami Dolphins 28-14 in the second half, and they blow that game, and they drop to 5-7. An embarrassing loss. You thought they're dead in the water. I remember that podcast. Me and Gino were talking a lot of future stuff again. Like, do you fire Doug Peterson? Do you fire Jim Schwartz? You know, what's the state of this team long-term moving forward? That you thought they were dead in the water. 2018 at 4-6, 2019 at 5-7. Both years, they found a way to revive themselves when all hope felt like it was lost. And now this year, does that happen again? It's possible. After this win against the Saints, it's on the table. Does it feel the same as 2018 and 2019? Not really. I think this team is a lot worse, and they're even more banged up than those teams, which is saying something, but they're alive. They are alive. It's predictable, man. This is the Birds, especially when a quarterback that isn't Carson Wentz is playing. Doug Peterson calls a better game. The offensive line blocks better. The defense gets turnovers, two on the day. I mean, go figure. Alshon Jeffrey decides to be a football player, which isn't surprising at all. Alshon Jeffrey talked bad about Carson Wentz anonymously through the media twice. It just seems like he always plays better for another quarterback, whether it's Nick Foles, whether it's Jalen Hurts. That feels like Alshon Jeffrey. So, I don't know. Early on in that game, I'm a little frustrated that it took Wentz being benched for a lot of this to happen. But at the same time, I'm not naive. Carson Wentz, you could tell the difference in this team's performance yesterday and compared to the last 4 weeks. Carson Wentz was holding this team back, and Jalen Hurts was that, what Doug Peterson called, a spark. He was that fresh start, that spark this team desperately needed. The game plan, again, like I'm frustrated that Alshon finally makes a play with somebody else. It's annoying, especially considering what Alshon's done to Carson in the past. It is annoying the defense gets turnovers now, multiple in the game. The offensive line blocked way better. Doug Peterson called a heck of a game. I was a little frustrated that that all happened without Carson out there now, because if you're Carson, you just got to be sitting there miserable. I mean, he's such a trooper to be as supportive as he was on the sidelines. It would be hard for me to, especially with body language, to stay that composed when you see all this happen without you on the field, because a lot of the Eagles' issues this year are out of Wentz's control. But again, at the same time, I'm not stupid. Wentz was broken this year. He was terrible, and he was holding this team back. And the game plan, as much as I say Doug called a great game, it wasn't completely different from what they've been doing this year, and it wasn't anything crazy special. It was pretty basic for a rookie making his debut against a number one ranked defense, but simply Hurts and the team just executed better than they've been doing with Carson Wentz and what they've been doing all season. And Hurts, he was impressive. I've been saying it's not about Jalen Hurts the player. I think he's a good player. I've just been frustrated about the situation that Howie Roseman created and what it did to Carson Wentz, right? I thought Hurts was a great player coming out of Oklahoma. I just didn't think he would ever be in Philadelphia. So, was I surprised that he played well yesterday? No, not at all. But I was extremely impressed with a lot of things in his game. He was really impressive, and he did surprise me with the way he handled that situation. I mean, to debut, even for somebody as cool, calm, and collected as Hurts, and as experienced in big moments at the collegiate level that Hurts is, it still was impressive how he handled a debut against a 10-2 team riding a 9-game win streak, the number one ranked defense in the league, and Hurts was as calm, as in control, as confident from the jump as I've ever seen a guy making his NFL debut as a starter. I mean, he was having fun. Remember after that touchdown to Alshon, which was impressive, by the way. I haven't seen a throw like that all year by Carson Wentz where the free rusher is right in Hurts' face. He knows he's going to take a lick, and he steps right into it and hits Alshon back shoulder. So, and then you see him sticking out the tongue on the sidelines. Like, he was in control. For a rookie, even for somebody like Hurts, this situation, to handle himself like that and to thrive, it's super impressive. You know, again, the numbers weren't great. He finishes 17 of 30, 167 yards, one touchdown. But he also had, I was really more impressed with him as a runner on Sunday. 106 rushing yards on 18 carries. His mobility was crucial in that football game where receivers really weren't still getting open. The offensive line was good, but it wasn't great. Like, he had to escape and he had to create, again, what I liked about Hurts and what I said on Saturday, what I love about Hurts as a prospect is his ability to create outside of structure and his mobility. His scramble drill is, I think, the best trait of him on the field. The way he navigates pressure is super impressive, and it's something that Carson Wentz used to be elite at, but you saw this year how terrible Wentz was at facing pressure. And so it was a nice, refreshing change of pace to see when there's a muddy pocket, a guy like Jalen Hurts can so smoothly get out of it. I mean, he's such a smooth scrambler, and he's a different, like, Carson Wentz can move and he can scramble, but Jalen Hurts has more of that long-range speed where he can get to the edge and he can beat a corner there. Whereas Carson Wentz, maybe he used to be able to. After that torn ACL, I mean, Wentz can still move, I think, pretty well, but it's not the same and it's not to the level of Jalen Hurts. And it's also not to the same style. Like, Carson Wentz is more of a chaotic scrambler, a little more jolty, if that makes any sense. Like, he doesn't come in and out of his cuts. He doesn't move as smooth as Jalen Hurts. And Hurts just has, I think, better long-range speed. And that added a threat on Sunday to this offense that they have not had. I mean, you saw what it did for Miles Sanders. Hurts and Sanders finished the day with over 200 rushing yards. That was the recipe for this offense, and it should be moving forward if Jalen Hurts is the starter against Arizona, Dallas, and Washington. Run the football, RPOs, read options. Just feature Hurts and Sanders the rest of the way. That is the go-to package for this offense, and that's what it was on Sunday. And so I was impressed with Jalen. Took care of the ball, too. Knew when to take chances, knew when to get out of the pocket, knew when to throw it away, didn't take any sacks on the day. That is huge. So I was impressed. I still think that he looked a bit limited as a passer, only 167 yards. But for a debut, for a second-round rookie quarterback against a number one-ranked defense, the hottest team in football, I was impressed with the kid, and I think he earned the right to start again against Arizona next Sunday. So he was impressive. Miles Sanders, obviously a flat-out star. You got to give him the ball more. Still only 14 carries, but he surpassed 100 yards on the day. That 82-yard rushing touchdown was incredible, and he also had four catches, too, so he touched the ball 18 times. Miles Sanders is your best offensive player. Just continue to give him the ball, and that's the thing with Doug Peterson. That's one thing he has struggled mightily with this year is utilizing Miles Sanders. But Doug called a great game. He really did. I was impressed with Peterson. This is just what he does. Maybe he just doesn't want, or maybe he just needs another quarterback as his guy to get that kick in the pants as a play caller, to get creative and to elevate this offense as a play caller. Maybe he just gets too stagnant and complacent with Carson because he knows Wentz's natural abilities. Or maybe Wentz has more control of the offense when he's playing than we think. I don't know. But Doug, every time a backup is in there, he calls a great game. He's 11-3 now with the Eagles with backup quarterbacks. I mean, it's hard to deny that fact. Doug is a better play caller right now, at least, with other quarterbacks compared to Carson Wentz. He got Jalen Hurts rolling. This is the frustrating part, though. It's not really Wentz's fault. I mean, all year you guys have heard us and other Eagles podcasts and the media and fans, you guys have been saying it too. You've been begging the Eagles to roll Carson Wentz outside the pocket, and not just one or two times in a game, because Carson Wentz last year was the best passer, at least passer rating-wise, outside of the pocket, and they just have not done that at all this year. But yesterday, they did it for Jalen Hurts the entire game, and you saw how well it worked out for the offense. And he got Miles Sanders the ball early and often, loved all the read option plays, the RPOs. It looked like a very modern-style NFL offense, which is refreshing. And I love the plays that Doug dialed up too for, you know, Jalen Reagor, some crossers, mesh concepts, a lot of pre-snap motion for this team. The reverses worked. Jalen Reagor had a nice 19-yard run on a reverse. And that play, by the way, was beautiful. That was an Andy Reid special. You've got multiple guys moving pre-snap motion on both sides of the field. A lot of misdirection and trickery there where he kind of fakes the handoff one way. It was kind of like a double fake, a shuffle fake, and then you pitch the reverse to Jalen Reagor. I saw Andy Reid and the Chiefs do that all game against the Miami Dolphins, and that's something they do a lot. And it was cool to see Doug Peterson do some of that, because we've been dying for that creativity in this offense that they just have not had. And so that's why I'm a little frustrated again, because it took Carson Wentz being benched for all this to happen, but I won't deny Carson Wentz's role in that. Like, he was holding this team back, and everybody, Doug, Sanders, the offensive line, Reagor, everybody looked better with this spark. And so it's what they needed on offense, and the offense wasn't great, but again, against a number one ranked defense, to put up 24 points, to only have that one costly turnover at the end and not take any sacks, it was a step in the right direction. It made me feel a lot better about Doug. It made me feel a lot better about where this offense is moving, at least in 2020. All right, before we take a break on defense, you know, again, they were hampered with injuries in the second half. They lost Darius Slay. They lost Avante Maddox. They lost Rodney McLeod. But can we talk about this pass rush? Jalen Hurts was huge for this win. So was Miles Sanders. So was Doug Peterson. But you're not winning this football game without that defensive line. I mean, one thing you guys have heard me on, I've been on Howie Roseman's back all year. Like, I've been calling for his job, and I still want him fired in 2021. I doubt it's going to happen, but I do. I don't think he's done nearly anything right this year. But one thing he's done right is build an elite pass rush up front, an elite front four. Josh Sweat, 2 sacks today. He's got 6 on the year. He looks like the only young star prospect on defense, and maybe one of the few young prospects they have that's a stud on the entire team. You got Miles Sanders, Dallas Goedert, and then it's Sweat, right? Somebody asked me the other day, if the NFL did an expansion, who would you protect? And I'm trying to think of it, and it's like, well, young guys-wise, I mean, there's not a lot. That's where I kind of went first, like, protect the young stars. Sanders, Goedert, Maialata. Josh Sweat's up there, and he showed how far he has developed, how far he's come along in his development over the last 3 years. 6 sacks, and he's only 24 years old. I mean, this guy's just scratching the surface of what he could be. The upside is incredible. You saw the get-off, the explosiveness, the bend, the wingspan. To have the length to pop that ball out, full extension to hit Taysom Hill, again, it changed the game. And he had another sack on a crucial drive, too. Josh Sweat, 6 sacks. It's third most on the team. Fletcher Cox, 2nd now. He had another sack. He has 6.5 on the year. He's had a sack in 5 straight weeks. I know I said it last week, but remember all that talk about Fletcher Cox not being a star? Yeah, that we can stop talking about that, because Fletcher Cox is an absolute stud on the interior. And so, by the way, lately has been Javon Hargrave, who seemed like another bust of a Howie Roseman signing, a massive contract coming over from the Pittsburgh Steelers in free agency. Javon Hargrave had 2 sacks today. He has, what, 3 now in 2 weeks? He has 4.5 on the season. So Javon Hargrave is getting to the quarterback. Josh Sweat, Fletcher Cox. I thought Derek Barnett today created consistent pressure. Malik Jackson and Vinnie Curry hit home a few times. They were the reason I think the Eagles won this game more than anybody. Over Hurts, over Sanders, over Doug Peterson. I thought it was the defensive line. Hargrave, Cox, Sweat, Barnett, Brandon Graham, of course, too. This defensive line is making up for so many issues on offense and on defense, and they came through in a huge way against the Saints on Sunday. Louis DiBiase recapping the Eagles' 24-14 win against the New Orleans Saints on Sunday to improve to 4-8-1 on the year. I'll continue to get into the game and what I thought of it coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, today's show is sponsored by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar out there. You got 18 amazing flavors, 6 new ones, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. There's so many unique different styles of Built Bars. My favorite are the orange vanilla, the peanut butter, and the raspberry. Those are my go-tos, but the new ones are awesome as well, and it's a healthy alternative to your everyday snack. Get rid of that bag of chips, get rid of that candy bar, and go with a Built Bar. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories in every bar. Go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com for 20% off. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into the Locked On Eagles postgame show, a Victory Monday edition of the podcast. The Eagles get a big 24-14 win over the New Orleans Saints to keep their NFC East hopes alive. They are 1.5 games back of the Washington football team. Here, by the way, is the scenario of what the Eagles need now to make the playoffs. So if the Eagles go 3-0 down the stretch, if they beat the Arizona Cardinals, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Washington football team, they need to win the East and make the playoffs, they needed the Giants to lose at least once against Cleveland, Baltimore, or Dallas. I think that's a given. And they need Washington to lose at least one of their next two games against the Seattle Seahawks and the Carolina Panthers. That seems pretty doable if the Eagles can win out. If the Eagles go 2-1, but they have to beat Washington in this scenario, then they need the Giants to lose at least twice against Cleveland, Baltimore, and Dallas. They need Washington to lose their next two against the Seahawks and the Panthers, and they need Dallas to lose at least one against San Francisco, against the Eagles, or against the Giants. Any other scenario, the Eagles are eliminated. So those are the two scenarios they can win the NFC East and make the playoffs. And you can go check that out. I retweeted it. I think it's from, shout out to Jimmy Kemsky and Bo Wolf. I think they pulled up the scenarios. You can follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE, and I posted the screenshot over there for the Eagles playoff scenario, because that's where we are now. We're back to talking about the NFC East because it feels like the Eagles could pull it off. I think it's very doable to beat the Arizona Cardinals next Sunday. The Cardinals, yeah, they're 7-6, but ever since that Hail Mary against the Buffalo Bills, they have not looked like the same team. If they don't complete that, they would have lost, what, 4 or 5 straight games, and they would have been 5-7. So they're, look, Kyler Murray, incredible. DeAndre Hopkins, incredible. That offense is one of the best in the league. But they have not been the same lately, and the defense has holes. So I think they look beatable. Washington and Dallas are obviously beatable, you know, divisional matchups. So if the Eagles win all three games, again, all they really need is Washington to lose one against the Seahawks and Panthers, which I think is very doable, and the Giants to lose at least one against Cleveland, Baltimore, Dallas. Those scenarios can happen. So, man, we might be talking about the Eagles in the playoffs again, but sadly enough, it's once again going to be with probably another quarterback. It's not going to be Carson Wentz, although Doug Peterson did not commit to Jalen starting against Arizona in his postgame press conference. He's going to play. You know, he earned the right to do that after that big win against the Saints. But yeah, Wentz, if the Eagles make the playoffs, it's again going to be probably with a backup quarterback, which is crazy. Since 2010, the starter for the Eagles week one in a playoff season has not finished the year in the playoffs as the starting quarterback. They did not finish the game in the playoffs as the starting quarterback. Michael Vick, remember it was in 2010, it was Kevin Cobb. Michael Vick finishes that year in the playoffs. 2013, Michael Vick starts the year as the starter. Nick Foles finishes as the starter in the playoffs. 2017, Wentz, Foles. 2018, Wentz, Foles. 2019, Wentz, Josh McCown. This year, might be Wentz, then Jalen Hurts. Who knows? It's still, they've got a long way, and it's only one win, and they've got to win three more. But this is, it's hard for me to like not get a little bit of belief back after this win, because this is what they've done the last 2 years. The minute you give up all hope, which I was at 0% this week, I was done. The minute that happens, last year after the Miami loss, 2018 after the New Orleans loss, when you rule them dead in the water, that's when they come back. So I'm not ruling this team dead yet. I think they're alive. And a lot of it, again, had to do with Jalen Hurts. Like, the pass rush was huge. Doug Peterson was awesome. Miles Sanders was great. But props to Jalen Hurts. I think he should start the rest of the way. But I do want to say, as satisfied as I was with him as a runner, as a scrambler, like, that was elite running for a quarterback. And as impressed as I was with his demeanor, his leadership, how calm he was in this kind of situation, making his debut, how calm he was on the field, in the pocket, and not forcing things. He looked like a 10-year veteran out there. Super impressed with those things about Jalen Hurts' game. But one thing I'll say is, you need to see him do a lot more as a quarterback, as a passer. I was not satisfied at all with his 167 yards. I want to see if they can win on the back of his arm. Maybe in a shootout-like scenario next week against a really good Cardinals offense against a quarterback like Kyler Murray. I liked what I saw, but for me to believe this team is going to make the playoffs and maybe do damage in the playoffs, and for me to take Jalen Hurts seriously as a potential long-term option versus Carson Wentz versus a rookie quarterback or a draft pick in 2021, for me to get there, I still need to see way more from Hurts through the air. And a lot of it was Doug Peterson having the training wheels on. He certainly had training wheels on. Like, the offensive game plan was pretty basic when it comes to passing the football. I love the creativity by Doug on the ground, pre-snap, you know, reverses and all that stuff, and the routes that he did have his receivers run. But for Hurts, I thought he did keep it pretty simple. And so a lot of it's on Doug, but a lot of it's on Hurts too. Like, I still think his throwing motion is a little elongated. He's got good touch and good accuracy. That back shoulder touchdown was impressive as hell, especially with a free rusher in his mouth. But at the same time, the arm strength still is something I'm not overly impressed with. And I want to see, can they win a game? This is kind of like, Lamar Jackson talk I've heard a lot with Locked On Ravens, where they discuss, can the Ravens win on the back of Lamar Jackson throwing 40-plus times and when they're trailing in a football game? That's what I want to see from Jalen Hurts if I'm going to take him seriously in 2021 as an alternative plan to that of trying to fix Carson Wentz. So that's where I'm at with Hurts. I do think he deserves the right to start against Arizona and probably the rest of the way. I think he gives you the best chance to win. Even just the way he played against New Orleans, that gives you the best chance of winning. But if I'm going to take this team seriously for the rest of 2020, and if I'm going to take Jalen Hurts seriously as a long-term prospect, I've got to see more from him as a passer. Because he didn't really complete after that Alshon Jeffrey throw. You know, there was the Dallas Goedert throw where he stuck in the pocket and moved the chains. But outside of a couple passes, I wasn't really impressed with Hurts as a thrower. Some of that's on Doug, but a lot of it's on Jalen too. And so that's what I want to see moving forward, especially against a really good offense coming up next week against the Arizona Cardinals. So that's going to do it for now. Louis DiBiase signing off right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. The Eagles take it 24-14 over the New Orleans Saints. Me and Gino will be back tomorrow for episode 2 this week of 5. Make sure you subscribe on any podcast platform for 5 Eagles podcasts a week downloaded into your phone. And I'm always talking birds. After the show as well, hit me up on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Locked On Birds and at DiBiase. LOE. Again, the Eagles take it 24-14 over the New Orleans Saints. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.